This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and thank you for staying with us on BFM 89.9. I'm Khoo Soo Chung with Shazana Mokhtar and Noah Lim. Also in the political framework, we are talking now about Japan. And after about a year in office, Yoshihide Suga has decided to step down as Japan's prime minister. He made the surprise announcement last Friday, saying he will not run for re-election as party leader this month. And the LDP, which means the Liberal Democratic Party, which holds a parliamentary majority, is due to hold an election on September 29th to pick its president, who will eventually become Japan's next prime minister.
So Prime Minister Suga's ratings have dropped to an all-time low post-Olympic as the country struggles to battle the COVID-19 pandemic. So even though they managed to, I would say, successfully hold the Tokyo Olympics, this didn't really give him the boost that maybe was expected. Japan is still under a state of emergency as cases climb up to 1.5 million amid a slow vaccination rollout, which we've been talking about for, you know, pretty much all of the year.
And of course, several contenders have indicated their interest to run. The front runner appears to be former Foreign Minister Fumio Kishida, but some observers are speculating that previous leader Shinzo Abe might even make a return. So will he? And of course, to answer these and other assorted Japan questions, we're turning now to Jonathan Berkshire-Miller, the Senior Fellow at the Japan Institute of International Affairs. Jonathan, good morning and thanks for talking to us. Did this come as a surprise to you, or was the writing on the wall given how Suga's recent ratings plummeted to below 30%?
Well, thank you and good morning. And it's great to be back on the show. I think there's two answers to this. I think on a tactical level, so the specific timing of Suga's resignation really did surprise many. I think not only some in his party, but also some of the political pundits or those who have been following Japanese politics very closely. And I think the reasoning on that is that he had a little bit of time still. There were some thoughts that he would wait an additional couple weeks before the LDP party election and hope that maybe his approval ratings would recover. So I think his sort of rather abrupt resignation did surprise some on the specific timing. But the second answer to that is that I think on a larger strategic scale, I don't think it surprised many. I think that the die had been cast in many ways with the sinking approval rates. Suga, when he started office, he had some approval over 70%, but very quickly with the management of the pandemic, in addition to the Olympics, as you referenced earlier, it was untenable for him to continue. So I think that this was, in the long term, not a surprise, but I think the timing was very challenging to some.
What legacy does he leave behind after only spending about a year at this top post?
Well, I think Suga has a couple legacies. I mean, one would be his legacy as prime minister, obviously, which is not the greatest legacy to have. And I think he finds himself in the category of several other of Japan's leaders in the past 20 years that end up having a tenure of about a year or so, unlike his predecessor and boss, Abe Shinzo, who was the longest serving modern day Japanese prime minister. So in that sense, I don't think his legacy is the greatest. But I think looking at it in a more continuity perspective, Suga was a loyal servant to the Abe administration as chief cabinet secretary for several years. So I think he's still well respected within the party on many of the issues, foreign affairs, economy, etc. He kept the status quo going fairly well. So I think within the party, I think his reputation is obviously damaged as a leader. But I think as a shrewd politician, he'll continue to have some allies.
Let's talk about the possible candidates that are in the race. Former Foreign Minister Fumio Kishida has thrown his hat in the ring. What do you make of his chances?
I think Kishida has a decent shot. I think this is not the first time that he's thrown his hat in the ring. He's actively been campaigning and lobbying for the top leadership post in the LDP and has failed on some previous attempts. I think that he has some backing from some faction, especially from the faction that he leads. But the challenge for Kishida really will be the other factions within the LDP. In previous attempts, and including against Suga, Kishida was unable to get the backing of other factions in the LDP that he would need in order to secure that post. So my sense is that he has some work to do in that regard.
Sane Takaichi, Japan's Internal Affairs and Communications Minister, is also another name that's being bandied around. Is Japan ready for a female prime minister?
Well, I think absolutely Japan's ready for a female prime minister. Whether they will have one by this fall, I think, is another question altogether. I think Takaichi's is an interesting choice. I think it comes from the more conservative end of the LDP and is thought and rumored to be a personal favorite of Abe Shinzo, the former prime minister. So obviously, whenever you have Abe as one of your key backers, you have a chance. That being said, I think she has not been seen as one of the top contenders in the previous polls to become LDP chief. So she is sort of new territory for her, and whether the factions kind of rally behind Abe, who's now on the outside looking in, and might still be dubious.
Yeah, Jonathan, there's also a gentleman named Taro Kono, currently the country's administrative reform minister. He's also in charge of fighting the pandemic. Appears to be gaining popularity, especially a weekend poll showed that he was the public's top pick. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Kono Taro, I think, is a really interesting choice. And at this point, I wouldn't say he's necessarily the prohibitive favorite, but I think he's a strong, strong contender and might be considered the favorite right now, the odds-on favorite. Kono has a background both as a foreign minister and a defense minister, including his current post as sort of a vaccine czar. So he's got a lot of experience within the government. Obviously, he comes from a political pedigree within his family, with his father being a former senior LDP official. And I think increasingly, in addition to his sort of public support that he's received as the top polled candidate from the Japanese public, he's also getting some backing from Japan's key factions within the LDP. And I think one of the key reasons for that was his decision not to run in the most previous poll, which Suga ended up winning. So I think Kono is actually in a really, really strong position right now for this post.
Can I ask you, Jonathan, about the public sentiment leading up to the elections? I mean, we saw that the public were very much against the Olympics because of the crowds that would come in. And an election process would definitely lead to these kinds of crowds that I imagine people are still very much afraid of, given that COVID-19 has its grip on most of Japan. Are people ready for elections, and do they think it can be held safely?
I think generally, the public has never really been overly enthusiastic about going to the polls. But I do think particularly on this issue, COVID-19 and the management of that, obviously the economic impacts of that very much is on the mind of Japanese people. So I think that they're looking for a bit of a refresh in this sense. So while this won't be a refresh as far as a new party, and I think that's something we have to make clear too. I mean, this is essentially the LDP, which will be electing a new leader, which de facto will become the new prime minister still. And I think it's something of importance to LDP supporters. And we'll see. This will be very important for the lower house election, which will be later in this fall, which will show how much support the LDP actually might have lost as a result of Suga's management of the pandemic.
Well, if, say, Taro Kono does take over as prime minister, can we expect any changes to Japan's economic policies or even how the country is fighting COVID-19?
I think Kono largely will be relatively status quo, as I mentioned, especially now that he has a very top domestic post. But clearly on international affairs, he's had two of the most important posts as foreign minister and defense minister quite recently. And if that's any sign of what he would how he would interact as a prime minister, I think he's very in step with the status quo element of the Abe administration on issues such as the U.S. alliance, the challenge of China, the Indo-Pacific, working with countries in ASEAN, closer to where you are. I think Kono very much will be in keeping with that policy. On domestic issues, I think he will look to shake things up a little bit. I think in his current post, he's looked at digitalization, for example, is some one big area that he's been focusing on, which was a legacy of the Suga administration. So there are a few things that I think that he will make some changes, but largely I think he's in step with the mainstream in the party.
Yeah, and Jonathan, very quickly, historically Japan doesn't like shock resignations among the top brass, but this time Suga's pending departure seems to have done exactly the opposite because the markets are rallying. How do you explain that, and how can markets, what can markets expect from Japan in the coming months?
Well, I think that the markets are probably rallying just because there was as I said, there was a cloud of uncertainty on what would happen with Suga for several months. I think even contextualizing when Suga took office over a year ago, He was never really expected to be the next Abe and have a, you know, multi-year tenure of 5, 6, 7 years. I think there was an expectation that he would be, in a sense, a caretaker, a prime minister. And then as his approval kind of took more of a beating during the lead up to the Olympics and the management of the virus, I think that that sentiment it grew even heavier. So I think probably what you're seeing in the markets is a bit of relief, knowing that maybe at least we know there will be a difference. And we don't know precisely who that will be, but we know it will be a member of the LDP, and we generally know how their policies are. So I think that that's probably the market's reaction, that getting back to some sort of stability, at least for the time being.
All right, Jonathan, thank you so much for your time. Charles Jonathan Berkshire Miller, Senior Fellow at the Japan Institute of International Affairs. Seems to be some sunlight coming on the horizon of the land of the rising sun.
Oh, yeah, sure. You can put it that way, I suppose. And markets certainly seem to be thinking so, by the way they've been rallying ever since Suga announced that he wouldn't stand for re-election. For me, what I would really like to see is if Japan will elect its first woman prime minister.
That's interesting.
We know that women are not prominent in the political space, so I think it would be a great step if they chose their top leader to be a woman.
So I asked the question whether he thinks Japan is ready, and he says he thinks they are ready for a female prime minister. Actually, then I realized I should have phrased the question as, is LDP ready for a female leader?
That's right.
That's probably the more accurate depiction. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.